I'm sorry, Garrick, it's a Word document.
Hey everybody, welcome back. This is episode 29 of First Crack and part 2 of the conversation with John Steinhorst, who we met in episode 28, the movie episode. In this conversation, we're going to be talking about John's new journaling system, what he's doing to keep writing regularly, keep the filmmaking ideas flowing, his thoughts on Chicago, and well, this car sharing program that he started. Sit back and enjoy. Oh, again, this is part of that crazy Skype conversation where I didn't get picked up at all, and he came through fairly well. So again, if you guys have any thoughts or comments on how to better record Skype conversations on a Mac, give me a holler, firstcrack@gmail.com or 20620BEAN1. So here you go.
I've started a new, it's not a journal, I guess, but it's just a digital archive, sort of pushing myself into more regular writing habits.
What's your approach on that?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because I've thought how to do it, and this is by no means the answer. I'm going to need to create some alternative system. Because see, I'm still the sucker who wants to have a piece of paper at the same time. And what I've done so far is I'm sorry, Garrick, it's a Word document. Here's a Word document, and it's in a folder that is, it's in a folder for a month, which is in a folder for a week, which is then dated by the day, and then has some cryptic, decipherable only to me tag on it about the contents therein. The complexity, of course, certainly I'd like to create some kind of portfolio program where I can like highlight keywords and things, but then I'm suddenly managing some sort of system and I'm not writing. It's when you get on these sprawling, lengthy, oh, it's 6 pages, you know, which just in like, say, I don't know, 45 minutes or something, and your topics are shifting so drastically, or it's a list of like 5 different ideas and like a 2-paragraph synopsis of ideas. I'm just kind of creating another level of a world, which later on I'll go back and have to decipher.
So it sounded a little involved, his whole system. So I wanted to get a little, I wanted him to back up a minute. John, back up a minute. Please reiterate this system, the structure that you have for your new journaling system.
One for each month. I actually have like pre-created those folders. Yeah, so there's that directory. And then I created a directory for weeks, 1 through 4. And then within that, just individual files by date, by day. The other day, the writing was, it was just like 2 sentences, which I think sometimes that can actually be the most, you know, when it's not something like, oh, I have no time to write today, but it's actually something provocative that you can come back to, that can be like the sort of the light or the inspiration that then grows into something greater. But, you know, I've always and still am obsessed with wanting to write by hand and love sprawling out pages upon pages in books of writing, but through the screenwriting class found that, of course, that's more time consuming because then you have to go back and sort of transcribe. So I'm just trying to play with some more free flow habits of getting words directly into the computer. And then if I really feel the need, I could print pages out and throw them in a binder, but you know, I've already got too many binders, so we'll figure that out when it comes. You know, this is like, this is the inevitable question for me, because for 2 years now, I've been preoccupied and perhaps procrastinating a bit the like full realization or development of a website of my own. And this was certainly one idea I had when I started this writing is, well, maybe it just makes more sense if I have developed some sort of CMS and have almost like a blog and can just like write this stuff online, and then it's archived online on a network and or on a server here and there, and then I don't have to deal with just managing all these files here. And then the question that you ask is it that something that people can read? And my question to myself then is, why not? I mean, why not make that something to read? I guess it comes down to like a few, I mean, there's several people who I've seen have like idea lists, like on their website and stuff. And I think it's like there's this weird proprietary issue that I think probably lots of artists skirt around. Because if it's something that like I truly treasure, I just probably wouldn't post it out of fear of it being co-opted by whomever. And you know, that a classmate shared with me that he felt very, very, honored isn't the word he used, but he was very happy for a presentation that I gave as a final exam in a class this year, and that was on like alternative idea development concepts, like these random sort of Dadaist kind of techniques that I've like started, just was making up throughout the semester in how to create a narrative. And he was kind of like in shock that like I was like disclosing, oh, here's like the Holy Grail and now you all know. And yeah, it was here are five different paths I've used over the semester to kind of generate ideas and to expand on ideas, reframe ideas and improve ideas that were in the works. So to answer your question, I think that to do that, to make that available would be wise, because then I'm all about putting things behind one. I think it's like if you're going to continue creating things, you need to be able to just put things behind and to generate all those ideas, share those concepts with the class, put ideas online. I think the ideas are only going to get richer, like especially by sharing. So of course, then we get to the sort of technical related website questions and my self-inflicted inferiority complex of being able to achieve what I want to achieve in a technology sense.
At the same time Jen and I were thinking of leaving Chicago and moving to Minneapolis, John and his wife were thinking of moving to Chicago. So he comes down, and this was while I was working downtown, working with Orbitz at the time. He comes down and spends a couple of days, and I take him down on the commute with me. At this time, I was taking the Metra from Evanston down to right, you know, smack dab in the middle, just, you know, right in the middle of the loop. And I take John down with me in the morning, and I send him on a, you know, say, you know, you have some interviews to do, you have some conversations to have, so, you know, you head out this direction. And it was, you know, very much middle of rush hour and piles and streams and, you know, floods of people. And that's the memory that sticks with me with our time together. And with that memory, I, you know, wanted to know, John, how is Chicago treating you?
Chicago's treated me well. I've been definitely been in sort of the flurry and throes of a massive, massive no sleep school schedule. And it's been a fair adjustment from the lifestyle we had in Portland, by no means. Lots of concrete, location is very, very, very urban, as one could imagine. We're pretty close in. And, you know, with any big city, you have not only your strange discoveries along the way from day to day, but there's certainly a bit more of a beat down experience in a big city than somewhere like Portland. But it's, you know, the opportunities are just endless, and it's been a good move for me, for us.
With that in mind, I share with John the memory that I have of when he visited us in Chicago. And I said, well, I want to hear, you know, what it looked like from your perspective, and what was the memory that sticks with you about that day that, you know, we shared the commute together and you were just visiting the city.
We were meeting back at this train station at like 5:30 p.m. or something, but it started snowing, the gigantic snowflakes that it has to at 4:30 when the sun's setting, and it's not too cold, so it's very slushy, but just the lines of people in their black trench coats marching out of the buildings and down the sidewalk like ants, of course, into the train station and backloading on the train. Just a very, so there's something quite special about coming here, going to school, and having a newfound sense of anonymity to allow some focus and indulgence into my own establishing, creating my own filmic voice and in touch with this discipline. But, you know, you can only have so much of that anonymity until you also maybe take on, you know, bits of isolation or whatnot. But of course, the big city can do that to one. But, you know, having now gotten to know a handful of people and especially the classmates with which I'm working, there's a nice little community that we've already found ourselves in here. So
I caught John on the Skype just maybe a day after he comes back from like a week-long vacation in Door County, Wisconsin, just hanging out, winter time, quiet, rural, relaxing after the semester was over. And knowing his perspective on Chicago and on the city, you know, I'm wondering, were you able to refresh, regenerate, kind of get that beat down off? Or no? Does it just stick with you persistently?
You know, yeah, I would say there were moments when I forgot about the city. It's tough sometimes, though. You see, it's like I'm like this kind of guy who gets like so involved and so wrapped into like the film that I was working on that I lose many senses of time. And then once that is suddenly over and I have to step back into some semblance of the real world, it usually takes a couple days to decompress. And those were the decompression days, and they did work. We got out, did a little cross country skiing, spent some time at the Scandinavian Lodge, because that's Scandinavian country up there. Hot tubbing, swimming in the pool. These are things that make you forget the city. You know, I hate to shift the subject so drastically, but I would like to mention that last night I embarked on a car sharing program where we Carolyn, my wife, and I are splitting our car time with a friend of ours here in Chicago, Jen Morey, esteemed poet, writer, teacher, and yeah, she'll have the car for like 4 days of the week, and we will have the car for 3 days of the week, and we are just figuring a way to pool and split insurance and upkeep costs. But yeah, so it's nothing formal. We like to think that it may be the seed of something larger that could take Chicago by storm in the future, but I think Flex Car has a little more financial advantage than us at this point.
This is a point I get really excited. John and his wife have had this Geo Metro for as long as I can remember. I mean, it's not the car that he drove out to Portland, but I think he got it very shortly after. So he's had it for years. And this Metro has always had something. You know, the way that used cars always have something. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. This car has been very, very good to them, taking them cross-country I don't know how many times. But I just have this sense that, you know, at some point, like I talked about with Mark Lepke and about his Scirocco, that they're going to need to get a new car. And I thought that moment had come for John and his wife. And I thought that they were doing this car share because they knew that they needed a new car but didn't want to commit to one, you know, themselves. So I thought, wow, John, you're getting rid of the Geo Metro.
Well, I want to say no. You know, this is a car with 130,000 miles on it that we bought for $500 from family, and it's taken us across the country many times. But I like to think, actually, that now this car is going to get so much more out of life by adding another user to it.
You're going to share the Geo.
Yes, this is the Geo that's being shared. 1993 Geo Metro. And, you know, it's not necessarily a pretty car, but it certainly gets us from A to B. Yeah. Yeah. Even though Jen's not an experienced stick shift driver, confidence abounds that it'll work itself out.
All right, folks. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with John Steinhorst, the part two of our conversation. That'll do it for this episode of First Crack with Garrick Van Buren. Send your thoughts, comments, and suggestions, and best wishes to John on the car share program too. firstcrack@gmail.com or drop us a message at 206-20-BEAN-1. Thanks for listening. I really appreciate it. Thanks for subscribing to the First Crack podcast, and we'll talk to you later. Have a great week.